All right. So I was in the fight of my life, Gary, trying to keep my eyes open because that game put me to sleep, almost put me to sleep. Boring, very predictable ending. At no point are you like, and look, the Yankees outplayed the Angels. They did. I do believe that to be the case today, but they didn't come through when they needed to. And anyone could have seen this coming from a mile away. We're going to talk about it. 4-game losing streak. The Rays are now 2.5 games back. 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position. Stan returned. That was fun. And the pitching was great. Schmidt looks like he's looking like a star for this team like he was last year. But the reality is right now the Yankees are facing the toughest part that they've had this season. And if they don't correct this soon, it's going to be an avalanche. And we're looking at 2024. I know it ended in the World Series, and that is, of course, the goal. But, man, we just talked about this yesterday, how June 15th started this whole thing. And then to lose a game like this, it's not that they lost it at the stadium. It's that they lost it without scoring runs. It's that they haven't really been scoring runs. They didn't even score runs their last win. They won 1-0. So you're wasting really, really, really good pitching that is not going to last, because right now the Yankees are setting themselves up very similar to what I was saying yesterday, where you have the top three guys in your order, Gary, who are hitting. And then, you know, you say the bottom three aren't, but the bottom three will start hitting when the top three aren't. Well, now we're looking at a very unfortunate turn of events where the hitting will continue. It'll come back and then we won't have the pitching. So not looking forward to that, but today sucked, and I know you have a lot of thoughts, so let it rip.
Well, you sent me this invite to do this, and just before we went live, my 11-month-old daughter just crapped her pants, just destroyed her diaper. And I still think that was a better, more enjoyable experience for me, having to have dealt with that. Just paper towel work, Clorox, the whole nine. It was more entertaining and better, prettier than what I just watched. The Yankees just wasted everyone's time, by the way. And coming into this game, I think my original thought before this game ever started, I was thinking about the lead up. The Yankees have shown themselves to essentially win against everyone else, the others in the league. And then they show up against the Red Sox, right? The Dodgers, a lot of the teams that Jake, you described, like they have this psychological edge. They just feel like we can't get over the hump with them. I wanted to know what the Yankees were going to do about that context, having led up to this. The context that the offense wet the sheets. They absolutely were treacherous at a hitter's ballpark in Fenway. We talked about whether or not we wanted to give the Red Sox credit or whether or not this was a Yankees thing. I'm all aboard the train. The Yankees were just a no-show in Boston, and it is now the stunt, like the stench of what we've done at Fenway has followed us. That smell is still on our offense right now. And you can point to all different directions as to why it's happening. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton's return has nothing to do with it. He looked great today. Hard contact pretty much the whole game. And had one of the biggest hits of the day. You get into scoring position, and obviously you pinch run for him. And we did nothing to get him over. The productive outs were just non-existent today. Jazz Chisholm had 3 knocks. And yet, the most crucial at bat of the day, he comes up with a man on second base and 0 outs. And he strikes out a player who he just has no business in that moment striking out. We just couldn't get it done. They just didn't. In no type of way. And I think earlier you mentioned that it felt like we outplayed them. Honestly, when we play this way, I don't even want to win. I don't think the Yankees deserve to win. When the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, a bad baseball team, I know they're somewhat overachieving for their expectations this year. They're not a good baseball club. They are not. And we made, is his name Soriano? We made him look like prime Pedro Martinez today. Dominant. Just completely lights out. We did nothing. And I saw you read me a quote of what Aaron Boone said postgame about Volpe swinging at the first pitch and people being disappointed in that. I didn't care if he swung at the first pitch or the 10th. Anthony Volpe was other than defensively, he was a no-show. It was nothing. And The offense overall, I think they deserve to lose. If you just no-show for 4 or 5 games running, shouldn't you go 1-4, 0-5? Shouldn't that be the case? And we just now have to start picking up the pieces and drawing conclusions as to why this happens. I see it in our comments, people calling it the June swoon, whatever you want to call it. This is a habit for the Yankees. They get off to electric starts. That certainly means something. Everybody else would love to start this way. But Jake, every June, every July, the Yankees just decide it's time to coast rather than putting our foot on the gas pedal.
No matter who's on the team.
Nope. Doesn't matter.
It's wild. You know, Stanton comes back in the lineup, and the only one who got the memo to hit today was Jazz Chisholm with, you know, 3 hits today. So it's frustrating, Gary. It is. I mean, 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position is repulsive. And say what you will. Unlucky on the hit and run. I don't blame Jason Dominguez. I also think that you look at the replay and Ring Hefo was definitely selling that thing because didn't even hit him in the knee. But I don't blame
him
for that.
What was he saying hurt? I guess I missed it. I saw a few replays.
He was saying,
I wasn't sure what
there was
happening.
A helmet to the knee. That's what they were saying. Like, he was holding his knee. He never got hit in the knee.
I can't say what he did and didn't, but when I watched the replay, I saw like 3 or 4 different angles. I didn't see any hard contact. It was interesting. I didn't really get it.
It's a tough play for Jason Dominguez. I don't have any fault for Jason Dominguez. You've obviously played baseball. I play baseball. We've probably both been in a situation where, you know, you have like a hit and run on, and you're supposed to run regardless of where it's hit. So you're already taking off as soon as the ball is pitched. I don't think a lot of people understand that. So in the comments section, not comment section, but on like social media, Jason Dominguez was getting torn to shreds. And don't get me wrong, he should have been for Boston. I get that. That's a completely different scenario here. Here he was clearly given a sign to take off after the ball is pitched. It is a strategic thing. Honestly, I agree with it. I thought it was the right call, and it just, Volpe hit it the one spot on the entire field. He hit it the one spot he could not hit it, and he hit it exactly the perfect. And this is the big thing, Gary. If you hit it softly to that spot, Dominguez is safe. He hit the perfect velocity to make a tag out. It was unreal.
Yeah, it was like it was thrown over there, which, by the way, it was bad luck. I think you can say what you want about the decision to the attempt of the play. You can say whatever you want. But to hit the ball directly to a player's glove and then he drops the tag down, it is bad luck. But I'm going to say this. If you need a lucky play or you need something to kind of bounce your way to beat the Angels at home after losing 3 stinkers to Boston, you're down. You're down for the count.
You're down and bad, as the kids say.
That's the way the kids say it. And I also, I don't want him to burn on the screen. So Ricky Demp, too, has recently become a YouTube member with us. Ricky, we really appreciate the support.
Appreciate
Welcome
you,
aboard. We'll definitely try to get any members. If you guys do comment, we'll try and get you guys on screen as much as we possibly can. I know we have like 50 some members at this point, but we try and get everybody up on the screen and get involved in our show. And Kyle with the super with the 2 says every damn year they do this, it pisses him off. Honestly, guys, I really hesitate to get mad. Because this goes for all 30 teams. You should be able to look at your roster. You look at your starting pitching. You look at your pitching coach, right? And you say, okay, well, what can we do with this group? What should I expect coming in? Before first pitch and opening day, what should happen? And we look at our offense. I think most of us would have said, this has been actually better than what we were expecting offensively up until this point. We didn't think Grisham was going to be, you know, all that good. We weren't sure on Jason Dominguez and what he would provide. Cody Bellinger, there was definitely room for this to be somewhat of a bust of a signing, but there was a somewhat of a high ceiling as well. But you look at the Yankees and you say, okay, this group seems to be overachieving in terms of winning, but yet what would be the real problem with this team? Like, if you had to point, what do you really expect and know about the 2025 Yankees? If I had to really take a guess, if I had a long time to think about it, I really think I would arrive at the fact that the Yankees are going to play bad baseball around June 15th through July. That would be my guess because they did it last year. They did it in 2023, the season they didn't make the playoffs without Aaron Judge. They did it the year prior. This is who they are. And I understand, Kyle. We get pissed off. We get upset. We show up here to podcast and we want to sit here and vent. But the reality is who are we now to get mad at something that's consistently happening? I think what we should start getting mad at is that we're not doing anything about it. What is there to be done about it? Is it leadership? Is it just talent? Well, it's one or the other. And this front office has to figure out what that thing is and then address it. But as of now, whatever we're doing, you literally said it, Jake, doesn't matter the name in the pinstripes. It just seems like it goes this way for us. So you have to ask yourself, it maybe isn't the players. So then we can connect the dots. What is it?
Yeah, it's pretty wild when you look at just how consistent Boone's teams have been. You know, you obviously you have your Aaron Judges that are still a part of the roster, Giancarlo Stanton, but for the most part, they're definitely different players. It's a different feel, it's a different identity until it's not. Then it kind of, you know, ends up being the same. And yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. What you don't want to see is repeat, right? Yeah, I would rather, like, I have no issue if you're going to have a bad month, but if it's the same bad month every year, yeah, I have an issue. It tells me that nothing's been fixed, and there's no rhyme or reason, Gary. Why are they bad in June and July? Like, what is the baseball explanation?
I think I have a reason. I think I've penciled it in, and it really circles back to the context that this super provides, because it's really criticizing a decision that's now set in stone. Before the play ever transpires, a mistake is being made. No pitch has been thrown yet, okay? And the 610 Stigs from, he super chats with the 5 and says, game was lost in the 9th. Jazz swinging away. I completely agree with this, by the way. Jazz swinging away with a runner on second base. Now, this is with 0 outs. Volpe swinging away when 3rd is stolen. So that's the criticism, by the way, of Anthony Volpe in the play. It wasn't stealing Dominguez or any decision-making he made. He was fine. He actually had a good jump. The problem was when a player has a good jump and it's at second base or first base, right, you can see as a hitter what type of jump somebody has. You can see the base runner. That's part of hitting. It's not just hitting the ball and then running to the bases. That's not the only job you have. If a Ricky Henderson is standing at first base, has a monstrous jump to second base, you know what your job is as a hitter? Get out of the way. Let him get to second base. That was the takeaway from this Dominguez play. So obviously the 6-10 is criticizing that. And so he's saying this team still lacks fundamentals. So fundamentals isn't just hitting the ball the other way, hitting line drives, like fundamentals in terms of your mechanics. That's not the only aspect of fundamentals. I don't think the Yankees struggle as much this year in fundamentals as they ever have the last 5 years. I actually think in terms of fundamentals, in terms of swing mechanics, this is the best team we've had in actually quite a while. I will say that with a straight face. But here's where the fundamentals go to die: the decision making. How can you let somebody drop down a bunt with Jazz Chisholm standing at first base and you don't let him try to steal second base before you drop down a bunt? You're now teeing up a man at second base with one out with your 8 and 9 hitters coming up to the plate. That is not how you win baseball games. Am I upset we bunted him? No. It's the timing of which we bunted him. So you can have all the good mechanics, be able to drop down bunts, be able to steal bases, but if the timing's not right, Jake, you're going to find ways to lose games. And in these moments where you don't show up offensively, the fundamentals of which this super chat brings up, they carry you through, and these losing streaks don't tend to exist. So that's my problem with Aaron Boone. It's not his ability to create lineups. It's honestly not most of what he does. But in these close games, does he pull the right strings at the right time? I feel he doesn't, and that's my biggest criticism.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's interesting because these little things we're not talking about, if this is a 2-0 game, 3-0 game, whatever. But when it you know, when you get down to like game of inches, right? You know, when we're talking about football, these things are life and death. like, no one, I don't want to say no one, because I think our fan base is just so intelligent and cares so much about the minute detail. Well, our fan base is so, the Yankees Unloaded fan base is so intelligent. And I'm sure there are other people out there, but they care about the minute details, right, Gary? Like, you know, and so, yeah, I know you're trying to hold back from laughing.
Yeah, but they're probably not, might, there might not even be maybe three other podcasts that are even talking about the details. They're talking about Giancarlo's return and then probably like someone's wife, her birthday, and that'll be it.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Hell of content. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, yeah, my point, though, is that, you know, essentially, like, I guess the point I was making with the fans is that while I can say, oh, yeah, it wouldn't have mattered, you look at this audience, it's like they could have won this game and we're still talking about it. And we would be talking about it because those are the little things that decide whether you win and you lose. And, you know, we're going to get to Jason Dominguez a little bit later in the show. I am very curious to see what people think. Jazz third hit and 11th was generous scoring. Yeah, I do kind of feel like that was definitely a throwing error. I mean, he's off the bag. I think he dropped it. Yeah, I think that's fair. But I thought Jazz looked good. The problem that I have was Jazz's at bat when it mattered really sucked. But
yeah, it was a great day overall. I mean, if you look up and you say, well, that was a generous hit to give him. Well, if Jazz Chisholm, as athletic as he is, and he had extra bases today as well.
Yeah.
If he's getting on base two or three times in a day with his level of athleticism, that's a win. That's what we've been asking Jazz Chisholm to do the whole year. Whether or not you scored in a hit or an error, put the ball in play. Stop striking out, right? Stop putting the ball in the air where you can't use your legs. Jazz Chisholm was all over the base pass. So today was a win for Jazz until it wasn't. It became, okay, we need you to execute here. We don't need the three knock Jazz Chisholm. We don't need a hero. I think you text me, Jake, and said, why is he trying to hit a homer here?
Austin,
I
don't really understand it.
Austin Wells, same deal. Why is he trying to hit a two-run homer here? And I told you, I think it's the only swing he's got. I think that's it. And I was talking about Austin Wells, of course. But in that moment where Jazz strikes out, how is it possible that you can execute so beautifully three at-bats in a row? Whether or not you want to score it an error or a hit, so what? We could have had any of that contact, and we don't need 110 off the bat. We need productive outs. In that moment, we needed a ground ball to the right side. We needed him to not be a hero. We needed him to do a job. He didn't do a job. And so now we look up at a three-hit night, and we're going to flush it. We're probably going to forget about it. And that's the beauty and the curse of playing for the Yankees. If you don't help the team win that day, you didn't do anything.
It's true. By the way, I compiled in the background. I was trying to like work and talk at the same time. I was just very curious. So I compiled the June splits for the Yankees under Aaron Boone.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and read those.
So they're 7-7 right now. Not ideal. Mm-hmm. 14-13 last year. You actually had brought that up in a previous episode.
500.
11-12 in 2023. 22-6 in 2022. 12-14 in 2021. 2020, they were not playing baseball during June. 2019, 17-9. 2018, 18-9. So this is kind of a newer thing. Maybe it's being a little bit overblown, or maybe it's not. But you've seen in the past Aaron Boone teams 18-9, 17-9, 22-6. That's pretty darn good. So, you know, why have they not done that since 2022? I couldn't tell you, but it is really interesting looking at this. And I guess I want to see a drastic change.
Were those the years of our Super Bullpen, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
I believe so.
Yeah. So if I had to give you my honest answer, I'm not just going to chalk it up to Aaron Boone didn't do anything and he had no, there was no reason behind them winning those games. They went out and won those games. But keep in mind how we were built in those years that you mentioned, where the Yankees did play well in June. They played well in July, right? And that matters. It does. And don't let anyone tell you that it doesn't. But when you've got Betances, you've got Chapman, You've got, right, Robertson. You've got all these different arms at your disposal. I think the Yankees in those months probably were winning a lot of one-run games. They probably were. And low scoring, if the offense doesn't show up, if you have a super bullpen, and let's keep in mind that's what we were calling it, a super pen, and the Yankees used that style actually for years. They wanted to have 3 to 4 guys they could rely on. And people can say, well, we should have spent all this money on starters, position players, and you're valid. You can have that opinion, but when you have a super bullpen, you can win a 1-0, 3-2, 2-1 game probably better than anybody else, that style of game. And we did, over the years, talk about, Jake, and I want to make sure I bring this up on the show, what the Yankees' record was after the fifth inning when they were winning. It was great. We won a lot of games just by having a lead after the fifth. We were great. So, yeah, I'm glad you bring this up, because I don't want to make it seem like I just think every single year of Aaron Boone's career, it's going to be a complete colossal dump in June and July, because that's not necessarily the entire case. But I will tell you, I'm noticing a trend. And I think this roster, talent-wise, needs massive improvement still to be a World Series contender. But having said that, I think this team is too talented to lay down the way they've laid down the last week. I don't think it should be possible. I think our baseline and our expectations should be a lot higher. And that's why I bring it up.
No, I think that's definitely fair. Kyle is kind of losing it over here. Thank you for the two, Kyle, from being alcoholic watching this team. I mean, hey, I guess that does that beat out Gary's last year where he's like, I don't even smoke cigarettes, but Clay Holmes is going to have me smoking Marlboros.
Oh, yeah. I said I'm basically how did I put it? I said I'm open to the concept of smoking cigarettes after having watched this team. And mind you, I said that I had a bag on my head last year and we still found a way to run into Cleveland and Kansas City and made our way to a World Series. I didn't care who we played, but I guess you guys see the point. This can get ugly. I saw this a lot on X, by the way, and I thought I had to bring it up on the podcast. There were people saying, well, you know, this just happens. It's just part of the game, is that you're going to have streaks where your offense can't score or your bullpen is going to falter. Maybe a key guy in your bullpen goes down, in our case, Luke Weaver, clearly our best guy in our pen, and you're just not going to be able to win a game for a couple weeks, and it's just going to go that way. And obviously, to present some evidence maybe in that direction, the Dodgers were atrocious like 3 weeks ago. They couldn't win a game. The Padres couldn't score for like a three-week stretch a month ago. That's just baseball. But the one thing that I think the Padres and the Dodgers and a lot of those other teams that people like to use to make excuses for the Yankees and their losing streaks, especially here, I think they don't necessarily talk about the timing of it. Like, there's no consistency to the other team's losing streaks. Like, you can't point to a single month where you say, yeah, the Dodgers, they're not going to show up around that time. No, losing streaks happen, but they should be random. We don't have random losing streaks. We have predictable losing streaks. And we lose in the same way. Most of our chat talks about the fundamentals. Whereas, if you obviously look at the Dodgers, you look at the Padres, people are talking about the manager and what they're doing with the bullpen. We don't have that problem. Our guys don't know the outs. Our guys don't know to let a guy just steal when he's going to go in standing up. They don't understand that, Jake. So when you make these type of mistakes, you can't look up and say, how do we let a game at home? Which, by the way, we have the best home record in Major League Baseball. And you brought that up to me before we went live, Jake. I thought that was interesting. We also have, would you say it was the worst record on the road?
Oh, that
can you
wasn't
find
even
that real
that.
Quick?
That wasn't even that. Get this. Yes. Yeah, you're talking about it. The one I took a picture of?
Yeah, you sent it to me. Can you please share that?
Dude, it's wild. All right. The Yankees record since 2020, it came up on the broadcast.
Yes.
In extra innings, they're 27-13, which is the best in the league. However, on the road, they're 13-26, which is the worst in the league. They lost today, so obviously this goes against, they're now 27-14. But I thought that was pretty crazy. It's what's crazy about it is they have they're 13-26. I love how I just randomly lose my voice. I was just talking normally. Anyway, they just went through. They're the 13-26 on the road in extra innings, but they're the best road team as well. If I remember correctly. So I don't really understand it. I mean, I'll say this. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason. That's my bold take today. If you look, the time you would have thought the Yankees would go off the handle is after the Dodgers series. But instead, they beat the Cleveland. They win the Cleveland series. Then they lose 2 out of 3 to the Boston Red Sox. So you're like, that's not great. Then they go to Kansas City, a team that is facing 500 in the face. And they smack Kansas City across the face. And at no point in that series, despite the fact Kansas City only lost 1-0 in the last game, did I think Kansas City had any chance of beating the Yankees the way they were playing. Then, for no rhyme or reason at all, the Yankees get swept. But here's how kind of overrated that whole swept is, right? The sounding of it. It sounds bad. But they didn't lose 10-2. They lost 2-1. They lost 4-3. And then they lost 2-0. I'm not making excuses, but again, they lose today in 11 innings, 1-0. So it sucks.
And what do you think the difference was? Do you think it was... So if you think the Yankees, if they were just more fundamental, how many games do you think they win? Of those 3 games in Boston and then of today, they probably win today, right? If the fundamentals were sound.
I would say so, yeah. My biggest issue with this isn't that the Yankees are losing. It's that they're wasting great starting pitching when they shouldn't even have this great of starting pitching. Clark Schmidt shouldn't be pitching like this. Like, we were expecting him to, but how he just all of a sudden is looking... His ERA is 3.16, like Stone Cold Steve Austin 3.16, okay? That's what we're talking about right now. That's wild. Like, this is a guy that I thought that they would trade at the deadline. Now I don't know. But it's wild to me, Gary, because on the flip side of it, Devin Williams is 9 of his last 10 in save opportunities. Fernando Cruz had a huge strikeout today to get him out of an inning. Loaisiga, I know he gave up the run. That's not an earned run. Loaisiga was really, really good.
How many people have
a problem
with our pitching? Like, I honestly... I'm not saying that people don't think we should add pitching, because even Brian Cashman, when they asked him, well, what are you planning on doing at the deadline?
But pitching was just an issue, Gary. That's the thing.
It was just an issue, but the Yankees' biggest issue always will be hitting, scoring. And I get when people say the Yankees have the third-ranked offense. Well, where's your third-ranked offense in all the biggest games of the year? It doesn't show. It honestly, consistently... doesn't show. Matter of fact, actually, I'm this confident about this take, I guess, if you will. If we played the Dodgers tomorrow, let's just say we give it a 4-game series. We have plenty of time with this team. I think the offense would no-show. I do. Or how about this? Give us 3 weeks, okay? We'll probably get in a slump here. We're clearly in one. We'll get out of a slump, and then we face the Dodgers. I expect our offense to no-show. That's my expectation. Why do I have that expectation? Because of history. The Yankees offense doesn't show up in big games. They tend to overachieve on the mound, regardless of what you think. Last year, everyone said Marcus Stroman is going to be useless. He wasn't useless. Once he got over the 140 innings mark, he was useless. But for the whole first half of the season, people were like, oh, wow, yeah, Marcus Stroman is really working out, right? All of those arms, Luis Gil overachieved. Nobody expected him to do that. Nobody. So you look at this group, they always find ways to get outs. Whether or not we want Snell, whoever it is, they find ways. Max Fried, probably going to be on the hook, be close to a Cy Young this year. He's overachieving. So, yes, do the Yankees need more top flight arms? You can certainly argue a guy like that you've mentioned in Peralta would be a great fit here in pinstripes. But the problem really for me is this offense. When they face great pitching, what do they do? And a lot of times when you face these great teams, you get tested more often than you do against the bad teams. And it just so happened today we got tested with the fundamentals against the Angels, my God. But when you play the Dodgers, you're forced, essentially, to play the game the right way. You have a guy stealing from second to third with nobody out. Yeah, you don't have a choice but to do it the right way. Otherwise, you lose. And so it seems like that's just what we do. And Isaac Taylor with the 5 with the super, we really appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the channel. It says Jazz had 3 hits tonight. He is not the reason the Yankees lost tonight. I believe he was. I think he is one of the main reasons we lost tonight. And people will look at this and they'll hear this and say, how can you have three hits in a game and be one of the main reasons you lose? Because of situational hitting. That's why. For a reason, by the way, that Aaron Boone mentions all the time. He says, Paul Goldschmidt's our best situational hitter. He is. And they say, well, is it because he's hitting 380? No, actually, it's not that. It's because when we need something done, we know he's going to get it done. That's why. So Jazz Chisholm can have three hits all he wants. I talked about it earlier this show. I'm very happy that he did so. He looked great today. But you know what? When we needed something to happen, situational hitting, there's nowhere to be found. He didn't get it done. So he deserves blame. Is he the sole reason we lost? No, absolutely not. All these other guys played. But Jake, this is just a perfect, I think this is a perfect example. Yankees fans should pay way more attention to the at-bats and the outs that we record when situational hitting is needed, as opposed to the rest of the game. We need to focus all of our attention on the details, because if we can do things correctly in the details and on the edges, I think this Yankees team gets a lot better. But we've sort of shown that we're willing to make the same mistakes repeatedly, and I hope they change, but I'm trying to figure out a positive spin as to why that it would.
No, I definitely get what you're saying. I think for me, I'm trying not to go overboard here because I know they have a 4-game losing streak and, you know, they're 2.5 games. But the 2.5 games is because the Rays have been, they've won 5 straight. So you do the math, you can quickly catch up if a team keeps losing. I think the thing for me, Gary, is you look and I understand it's normally 5 runs, but let's just say 4 runs would get you most of the wins with this pitching, right?
Yeah,
four runs will pretty much
close,
get. They have scored 4 runs in 45 of their 71 games, at least 4. So I don't even, it's hard to say because like this offense, they've had double digits over 10 times this year. You know, they've scored at least 5 runs in 32 games this year, you know? So I don't feel like the offense is like awful, you know, and I understand, you know, a lot of people get on them. I think this is just one of those kind of, you know, they're consistently in every game. And when you don't have it, the next best thing is to just be in the game. And that's one thing. They're really not getting blown out very often. They're not in games where it's over in the 9th inning. I still think, you know, extra innings is a crapshoot. I do think the not bunting DJ LeMahieu was insane. But, you know, I feel like there's right now it sucks. It's annoying and I don't like it, but I'm not worried. If I get into worry territory, I'll let you know. But right now I'm not worried. I'm glad Stanton's back. That's going to help the offense. But it wasn't that long ago we were talking about how this offense, especially like against Kansas City, it's like,
I don't think anybody is worried about the actual offense. Like literally there's 240 comments in the past, I'd say 25 minutes. I would probably say the majority of people aren't concerned with our offense. They're concerned with our offense when it matters. Like when you guys actually have to do something smart, a man on first base. Okay. It's a speed guy. What's his job here? He needs to find a way to get into scoring position. And then obviously later on, if you need to bunt him over, you bunt him over. But you need to let him use his legs. And do you trust the Yankees to make the correct decision to attempt to win the game? This isn't even about hits or not, getting out or not. Because by the way, you mentioned our offense and you're not worried. Our offense is already good.
Yeah.
The numbers suggest we are already an elite offense. I'm not concerned with the next 100 days of baseball. What's the Yankees offense going to look like? Because more times than not, they're going to show up and score 6 runs, and we're going to say, oh, yeah, Ben Rice did this, Stanton did that, Judge did this. Okay, great. It's about the games where the offense doesn't necessarily have it. Can they save themselves with the fundamentals? And that's where my problem is. So I won't speak for everybody. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But people should look at what this offense has done and say, oh, yeah, we are a great offense, but we lack in something. And I think that something is the small details. It's not anything major. It's not a revamp of the 5-9 the way it was last year. Last year, the 6-9 were auto outs. They were hitting 190, right? And we were talking about Soto, Judge, and who the hell should lead off, right? Remember those conversations? We were talking about Austin Wells should lead off for the team last year. That was a legitimate conversation. So, yeah, this offense is fine. They just don't have fundamentals. They just don't. So
no, that's fair. By the way, get this. You might not have heard this. This is pretty crazy. So every single game this year, okay, until June 14th, the Yankees had an OPS for the team over 800 in every single game.
That's 100 points higher than league average, just so people understand the context. Yeah. That is really good.
So three games in a row, they've been below 800. The only time all year. So this is, we are watching the worst of the Yankees offense this year. We are. But
yeah,
I think it's going to turn around. I do. And the good news is this year, it appears that lefties aren't killing the Yankees as much either. I found that they're 10-7 against lefties. They don't have a losing record this time around.
I feel like that tracks, right? Goldschmidt, what Bellinger's doing. I think he has reverse splits.
Yeah.
It makes sense that we're winning against lefties. I mean, Dominguez is probably, he's still probably an auto bench against lefties. I know he had that three-homer game, and we were excited about that. He's had actually a couple clutch hits from the right side, but overall, and we're going to talk actually at length. And by the way, guys, Jake didn't get a chance to tell you guys what we're talking about with Dominguez, but it was actually the concept. And we're not saying we should do it, but we're going to dive into the fact that people want to know what the Yankees can acquire at the deadline, and it might be a top-fledged starter. Well, how are you going to go about doing that? We've seen on X a lot of people floating the idea of trading Jason Dominguez. I know we've seen Trent Grisham playing a lot, specifically leading off for this team, and we don't necessarily agree with that decision, but we'll talk about it. Alexander Patton with the YouTube membership, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Alexander.
Very much appreciated. I want to catch up a little bit on these supers. And Brian with the 10. Brian, as always, appreciative. Thank you for that. Says, at the end of the day, we're losing games. We have no business losing. And what makes it worse is the gaslighting Boone does after every damn loss. These past four games pissed me off. So Brian is essentially saying that Boone is gaslighting us and not giving us the real reasons or taking responsibility. I'm going to defend Aaron Boone here just for 1 second. And you guys know what I think overall about what Boone's doing in these moments, but Aaron Boone's not going to show up post game and be like, yeah, we suck. Yeah. The fundamentals, that's a mistake. No manager does that. I'm here to tell you guys right now, if you're waiting for a politician to be honest with you, they're not going to be, right? If you're waiting for a manager to be honest with you, they're not going to be. I'm here to tell you, if they make mistakes, their job is to feed you garbage. And then you're not going to accept it, but the average person just listens to it and goes, oh, okay, and walks off. Mm-hmm. That's it. So, Jake, what did you think about this? Because obviously, I don't assume, maybe you have higher expectations of what managers are going to do. I agree with you, Brian. We know they made mistakes and there's ways that they can be accountable. I just don't expect my manager to come out and be like, yeah, I screwed that up. I don't see it.
Well, it's one of those things for me. I don't put too much stock into anything that I said post game because, you know, they haven't had a chance to look at it. They're just kind of reacting to the moment. You know, in covering the Rams, I'll tell you right now, Sean McVay is that guy. That he would come out and be like, yeah, I just sucked today. I let our players down. Yes. Yes.
The rest of these guys, we probably shouldn't even listen to the interviews. Like, why are we listening to these interviews?
Yeah.
If they're just going to be like, exactly, oh, I thought. And then they tell you just some lie. So then why do we listen to it?
It was a breath of fresh air because it's nothing against Jeff Fisher. But when Jeff Fisher was the head coach, he was a player's coach, kind of similar to Aaron Boone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he also got to a Super Bowl and lost, similar to Aaron Boone getting a World Series and losing.
I'm hating this comparison.
Liking this right now. I'm going to stop. No, all jokes aside, Jeff Fisher was a nice guy. A lot of people liked him and everything, but like he'd be like, yeah, you know, we need to do a better job. But like Sean McVay, even when they win, he's like, you know, I got to get a, I need to do a better job of putting Matthew in a position where, you know, he can make that throw, or I need to do a better job of putting, you know, this guy here, or that call that I made. I was thinking, yeah, this would probably be where I went, but instead I went with this. And I think that was a mistake. And yeah, he's been throwing himself under the bus since 2017 when he became
the head coach. Do you think that's helpful, by the way? Now, because obviously you're saying, hey, I butchered that. I'm in leadership. Right. And if you're someone's,
I think
honestly, I'm just thinking about it. I really do. Because I think if someone's your parent and they come up to you and you're someone's son, you're someone's daughter, and your parent comes up to you and say, I just want to let you know, I screwed that up. You know, I'm sorry. I'm going to be better with it. That's the only way you're going to keep yourself accountable. If you continuously come up with excuses or, oh, I was trying to do this and I guess it went this way, but you know what we were trying to do. It's someone avoiding accountability. So, I hear you, honestly. And maybe Boone being more upfront, I think actually Giancarlo Stanton is the one player I think on our roster who's willing to be like, I was garbage.
Exactly. And I don't need like Boone to be like, yeah, I was a steaming pile of dung. But like, you know what I mean? Like,
that would be so entertaining.
I'm not going to lie. I do need him to say that. Then I'd tune into everything and we'd put this on hold until after the post game. But no, all jokes aside, yeah, I bring up Sean McVay because I've had a lot of experience covering this team. I've been watching his pressers. I will rewatch. Like, I'll watch after I do it because I do a live stream after every Rams game. I will go back and make sure I rewatch every presser because he always has some interesting nuggets in there. And again, to the point, they lose and Sean's pissed. Like, he's not sitting there like, yeah, you know, on to the next or whatever. He's not doing the Bill Belichick.
So you don't get that feeling. We're Cincinnati.
Yeah. On to Cincinnati. Like, no. He's not doing that. He's like, you know, he's got to watch the tape, but he's also not doing the Hugh Jackson where it's like, got to watch the tape. Like, you know, every single answer.
I absolutely love this super chat because it's reinforcing literally everything. I want to make sure we don't skip any. Ed W's super chat is just so good. Okay, I'm going to get to Apex here. So he says the irony, Devin Williams, the least frustrating tonight. That is so true. Devin Williams has been good. I mean, you mentioned that earlier. He's done everything we could ask. Basically, as soon as he lost his job, he's been good. And obviously he's stepping in unannounced, unexpectedly. I mean, Luke Weaver goes down. You're back in the closer's role. That's got to be hard to do. You lose a job and someone's like, actually, no, wait, we need you to cover your shift. And then you show up and you're a good employee. He deserves credit. So I'm happy with what he's doing. And Apex again with the two, thank you for that, says, if not Boone, then fire the hitting coach. I don't care who's our hitting coach, Jake. I don't think it's the hitting coach. I think this is the fundamentals. And here's where Ed W, this is just so, this is, I can't say sensational. My mom says I overuse it. So I'll just know. Ed W with the 10. Ed, thank you as always.
Thank
been
you,
great man. With our channel. Now, he's been great since year one, really, with us, since the beginning. Says, Sherman has consistently said, you are what you emphasize. And that the Yankees don't emphasize smart, situational baseball day in and day out, regardless of lip service. So when you talk about, let's go backwards here, smart, situational baseball, there is nothing about that phrase, nothing about it that has anything to do with your batting average, has nothing to do with your ability to hit homers, has nothing to do with your athleticism, has everything to do with being attentive, being able to pay attention to what the hell the job is at hand. Baseball is a slow game. It is played one play at a time. And for people who don't watch baseball, it is incredibly boring. They watch this and say, well, nothing happened. Nothing happened. It is a build-up process, very similar to golf. But when you get into situations, it's your job to control mistakes, just like golf. And you go out there and you put yourself in the best position to win. You make as quality of decisions as possible, as humanly possible, so that you can try and change the outcome. That's the difference between teams that emphasize being smart and practice situational hitting. So we've talked about this year, Jake, how the Yankees have been much better in one-run games. We addressed that. We didn't hide from it. We read those numbers. We delivered it to our audience. But this week, hasn't been just poor batting averages and not hitting for power. It's also been just a lack of smart baseball, just not understanding the situation, not even attempting to do the right thing. What do you think about this, chat?
I like it because I think, you know, there's a lot of truth to this. I mean, and I think we also jumped the gun a little bit as fans because, you know, last year you see all those errors. You see, I think also, and hear me out when I say this, I don't think they were nearly as bad as people made them out to be. They weren't bad enough to be laughed at by another organization. This is what happens, though, when you go to the World Series. Everything, you let everything hang out. Now you're under a microscope for the rest of the world to see. Are there worse defenses that were good teams? Like good teams that had worse defenses? Absolutely. There were teams in the playoffs last year that had as bad or worse of a defense than the Yankees. But the
We kind of showed her behind on the big stage.
The Yankees get to the big stage and you're under a microscope. It's why, you know, everyone becomes a critic, like Kansas City Chiefs versus the Eagles. Everyone's like, Kansas City shouldn't have been there. Well, they were the last team remaining in the AFC. So I understand what you're saying, and in that
sense, their offensive line sucks. I'm like, oh, did it? Because
won the AFC. And then people just that didn't like the Eagles weren't going to give the Eagles any credit. I knew that game wasn't going to be close, but for a different reason. The Eagles were just a better team. But to take away credit for a team that got there, I've never been a fan of that. Look, Kansas City definitely had its issues, just like the Yankees had their issues. But they earned being there. And unfortunately, championships are meant to enshrine, immortalize the winner and absolutely drop a nuke on the loser. And that's what we see throughout history. If you lose a Super Bowl, the Super Bowl hangover, they always seem to like change every year. The winner sometimes is the Super Bowl hangover going into the season, but mainly it's the loser. That's what it comes from.
I was literally sitting in the end zone in like the fourth row when Russell Wilson threw the pick into the end zone against the Patriots. I was literally standing right there, just like, and I brought my buddy. I had an extra ticket. I took one of my best buddies, who was a Seahawks fan, and he's sitting there going, bro, we're going to repeat. He's just freaking out. They throw the pick. Malcolm Butler, obviously, the rest is history. The game's over. They take a knee, and we're walking out of the stadium, and he's sitting there thinking, oh, wow, Pete Carroll might get fired. Oh, wow, the Legion of Boom is going to be, we're going to completely disband this group, right?
Because and they're sure under the microscope.
Right, and sure enough, there was a ton of turnover. A ton of guys were gone. A ton of guys were asking for raises. A ton of guys were leaving the organization and blaming and pointing fingers at other people.
Look at the Diamondbacks. There you go.
I know. And you look around, you're going to take a ton of blame losing in a World Series, but I think what people want, when you lose that way and you show you're behind, you show you're not emphasizing the fundamentals, and not in terms of errors, not in terms of that, not in terms of like Aaron Judge dropping a fly ball. That was just a poor play. It was just bad and it was surprising. But the other stuff, like us not covering first base, stuff like that, we've been doing that since June. We've been doing it since spring training. Those type of things, we just weren't, as Ed W. brings up beautifully here, and obviously he brings up that Sherman was talking about it. Yeah, the Yankees just tend to not make, they just don't make the smart play. They're not thinking with their head straight. They're a very talented team. Our offense, wildly underrated, and we're probably overlooking how good they are because they're not able to win some of these games during this losing streak because they play dumb. They kind of just run around.
I like that. And then another thing I want to say on the back of that, because I first wanted to establish last year's defense wasn't the worst in the league, and we got to stop acting like it was.
No, it definitely wasn't.
But this year's defense is a lot better than last year's defense.
Are we top five, by the way? I'm just guessing.
I think they're in the top eight last time I saw, top seven.
Okay, that's good.
Something like that. But the point being is that doesn't mean they're the best defense. And I think, again, just kind of like how we can't overdo it and say, like, just because we want to and we're frustrated, this is the worst defense we've ever seen in 2024, you can't say this is the best defense. And you have to understand that, yes, while they're really good, there are some issues. You have Jason Dominguez, who's an everyday player until recently, and he has, I think, the worst defensive run saved in the entire league.
It is horrible. I sent it to you this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how bad it was going to be. And I do.
Because you and I have said, he's gotten better. Like, what is better? I guess the fact that it's not spring training and he's not like,
Wait, yeah. Do you know, by the way, people are going to listen to this and be like, oh, these guys hate Jason Dominguez. I'm like, guys, these are baseball players. Nobody hates anybody.
Yeah, I don't hate Jason Dominguez. It doesn't help us.
No, the numbers suggest that Jason Dominguez is just running around with a glove on. He's not playing any type of defense. Any ball that's like remotely in front of him, he's just going to stop, play it in front of him, let it bounce, and then throw it into the shortstop, and then Volpe's going to flip it to the pitcher. The pitcher's going to go, give me a new baseball, and that's the end of the play. If the ball's not right at Dominguez, it's down. That's just what it is. So we can't make fun of Juan Soto and his defense and what he did here and then what he does.
Man.
Right. Juan Soto's just running around as well defensively, but you know what? He's a Hall of Fame hitter. You can get away with it. If Jason Dominguez wants to hit 290 for his career for the next 18 years, he's going to the Hall of Fame. They're not going to care what type of defense you play. So those numbers were insane. And I want to read this super, and I want to dive into this Jason Dominguez Thank conversation you, because
yes.
This Dominguez trade idea is getting kind of insane. I think it's getting loud enough where we should probably address it at least. And Mark with the five, we really appreciate it, Mark, as always, says, so about all those one-run games and 1-0 record we discuss after the Kansas City series, Big G looked good and will come out alive, so not concerned. Pitching is amazing. So this is definitely a positive way to spin this. We're getting outs. The pitching's been fine, right? Yarborough was fine. Clark was fine. Max Fried was brilliant. Rodon was okay, but still serviceable, good enough to help win a game, right? Not to carry, but to win a game. And then you look up and you say, oh, we had nothing to show for it. Well, we played dumb baseball offensively, and we sort of deserve it, but you have to imagine, sort of to Mark's point here, we will bounce back. We have to hope, though, Jake, this doesn't last a month and a half the way that it has in years past. They've got to find a way to get back on the horse here really quick.
No, I definitely agree with that. I will say, if you are an optimist, you watch 27 today, he's not going anywhere. This dude, as long as he stays healthy, I mean, he's going to be playing the next. He could play another 3 years the way he hits.
Who?
Stanton.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean... Oh, yeah, you know, what they
I was like 27. I was like, who the hell's 27? I didn't even register you were talking about his number.
No one ever does. It's so funny how, like, the Yankees are always known for the iconic numbers. But if you don't say 99, people are like, right now in the comment section, tell me Garrett Cole's number. No one can get this.
Well, 45. I knew that.
Yeah, you can get it, but you're not thinking about 45 on the top of your mind.
No,
99 is just people call Aaron Judge 99. No one calls Stanton 27. But the point being here is that Giancarlo Stanton took an 88-mile-an-hour fastball. 88-mile-an-hour breaking ball and just slapped 111 off the bat. It's like effortless for him. And he was doing this in the minors, and now he's up. And you talk about it, like today, Goldschmidt wasn't in the lineup, right? Because he isn't good against lefties this year. I think his OPS is below 700. So, like, I understood the rationale behind it. Tomorrow, another righty. So Boone is going to have to shit or get off the pot here because you just not want Goldschmidt, like, one of your best hitters in the lineup at all.
Well, maybe. He did say it was a timeshare, literally. He said that pre. Yeah, he said he, and this is a quote, by the way. He said, we'll have to work a little bit of a rotation there. G will be part of that. So I expect him to play regularly, but he'll have his days too. We love that. And he just kind of, he says, we'll just let it shake out. Okay. This is a quote. I've talked to the guys about it. We're going to have a couple good players sitting over there every single day. And you can make the case should be in the lineup. We're all on the same page with it and ready to roll.
I have said this. I kind of like that they're so... This is the most depth they've ever had hitting-wise. Now that Pablo Reyes is gone. Well, I was going to go somewhere, but you know what? Let's just say he's gone. I'm not going to... Just leave it at that. Pablo Reyes is not on the roster anymore. And it's not that he's not on the roster anymore because I don't want to throw that much shade at him. It's that you've replaced him with your best postseason hitter in Giancarlo Stanton. Probably the hardest hitter on the team. The dude hits the ball so freaking hard. I just really feel like this lineup has kind of everything. And really, it's just a matter of, like, we're going to talk about this in this last segment here about Jason Dominguez, Peraza getting outfield time and being used in the outfield. If Peraza doesn't start hitting, they're going to go out and get an IKF, or maybe they'll get somebody bigger, but they're going to get somebody, and that is going to be that. They don't have any other need. Here I am saying this, the New York Yankees do not have a need for a bat if either Peraza starts hitting or they replace Peraza. After that, every one of these guys should be in October. Grisham, Rice, Goldschmidt, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Dominguez. Again, we'll get to that. Chisholm, right? Volpe, Wells, Escara, LeMahieu. All of these guys should be playing in October. So that is that. But Gary, are you ready? Peraza for DeGrom. I just saw that.
Am I ready? Boy, am I. So let me tee this up. So what's happening is people want to know, do the Yankees have enough offensively? Now, a player that I've mentioned that I'm really interested in is Austin Riley. I've talked about this, I think, at third base. Atlanta is losing.
We talked about this.
Atlanta is not winning any games. They're just not. Nothing's bouncing their way. And the only way you're going to go get players is if that team's losing. They're not just going to give up talent because they want to. They're giving it up because they don't have anything to do with it right now. And that's one of the players I've looked at. You know, another player in Freddy Peralta that you've mentioned, this actually highlights an issue that I have with this roster, and it's not an issue right now. So I don't want people to think that I'm sweating it during the regular season. I am not. But when you look up and you say, well, who's in the depth chart for the Yankees? And we're talking starting rotation. You say Carlos Rodon, check. He will be starting games in the playoffs, 100%. Max Fried, yes. They have it listed, and this is in no particular order, but I'm going to read it to you guys. Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman's not pitching any postseason games. Will Warren. I would say Will Warren could start a postseason game, but are the Yankees sure they want to toss him the ball in a game three? No, they are not. I know that. Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt has shown he can throw over 150 innings one time his entire baseball career. Once. So should they trust that he's going to be there after 30-plus starts this year? It certainly could happen, but should they bank on it? No, they shouldn't. You look up Gerrit Cole. He's listed here. He's out the entire season. He's not available. Luis Gil. Jake, how many months did we say he would have to be able to rev himself up for the postseason?
Literally a month and a half.
About a month and a half, and that's being optimistic. That's after a rev-up process, pitch counts, the whole nine. Will he be ready for the postseason? I guess he could be. Are you going to bank on it? No, you're not. So my problem with this Yankees roster is not what's going on in the regular season. It's actually how are the Yankees going to find pitching that they know will be around and that they can trust in October? And that's going to be via trade. And who can they possibly dangle? Well, you have to look at their roster and see the decisions that they're making. You mentioned that Peraza is kind of roaming out into the outfield. Very interesting choice. And people are using Jason Dominguez's name to dangle on the trade deadline to potentially go get a top flight arm. Maybe a Peralta. It's not going to be Alcantara. I mean, you should be able to get six Alcantaras for Jason Dominguez. But you guys get the point.
Oh, God.
The biggest target for the Yankees this offseason, I guess we've been told, is going to be Kyle Tucker. That's an outfielder. So is there potential that the Yankees may not see a long-term future with Jason Dominguez? I'm not here to say that that's what's happening, but it does seem like a player that's hitting the way he's hitting, which is right now a 240 hitter. Jake, just yesterday you brought up his lack of power numbers. Since his injuries, the power really hasn't been there to the level we thought it would be. The defense is obviously notably atrocious. What do you think about the concept of it? Because I'm not saying they should trade Dominguez or not. I'm just simply bringing up the noise.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had brought up, I felt like looking at Spencer Jones, he's a better fielder. If they can obviously figure out the contact a little bit better, he's got a shot to displace Dominguez. Because you look at Dominguez, and I really don't want to come off as a hater because I like this player. I do. And I like the potential he has to become something special, right? But when you look at Dominguez, what is he right now? He's kind of just a young player you're hoping turns into something. I mean, currently, Jason Dominguez is barely above 700 OPS, which is league average, as you've mentioned. His season, he's projected, obviously he's hitting 236. His season, he's projected at 14 home runs, 105 hits, 59 RBIs, and 148 strikeouts with 59 walks. Is that what you would want out of a guy that people were comparing to Mickey Mantle when he was 17? And look, I understand the hype was ridiculous at the time, but right now, the truth, the fact of the matter is this, Gary. Jason Dominguez, for his entire career, has 12 home runs. He had four in his first 31 at-bats. He has 281 career at-bats, and he has 12. Okay? It's... people were excited because they saw 2023 pre-injury, and they felt like this guy could be a game changer offensively. Okay, yeah, the glove, whatever.
We can overlook the glove. I'm here
to tell you, I don't care about his glove if he starts hitting like he did in 2023 with a 980 OPS. Okay? Just here to tell you right now, if he had a 980 OPS, I don't care about his glove. I don't care that he's last in DRS.
If his OPS was in the mid to low 800s, like you're talking 100 points over league average, you can be wildly below average defensively, and I'd let you get away with it. I wouldn't care. Would I like you to be a better defender? Would I talk about it periodically? I'm sure I would. We talked about it periodically with Juan Soto. But you know what Juan Soto was doing? He was hitting go-ahead homers to send us to the World Series. Nobody cared about his defense. Nobody was talking about his defense when he was rounding the bases in that Cleveland series. We didn't care because you're able to be excellent at the other stuff. So we'll let that slide. But when you're hitting 236, he's shown some flashes. You saw the three homer game. No one missed that. He had homers from both sides of the plate. You see a glimpse there, but it's hard for a team that's in a win now mode. You've got a lot of veteran players that have to win here. If the Yankees don't win a World Series, let's just say this year and the next two after that, we're probably looking at this tenure with Aaron Boone as a failure, regardless of how close we get. If we don't win at some point, we're going to draw that conclusion. So I hesitate to say I'm giving up on Jason Dominguez because I'm not giving up on what he could be. I am aware of what he could be. I'm very, like, we understand. I think most of people listening to our podcast know what Jason Dominguez and a lot of these other prospects across baseball could be. But it's not a sure thing, Jake. It's not.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to play elite-level baseball. The list is not long, regardless of how highly ranked prospects are. And last thing I'll say about this, the Yankees have had a ton of prospects that are at the top of the league. And everyone has said, right, you're talking about Miguel, is it Miguel Montero? Who was it? Jesus Montero, right? We have a bunch of different players that you can project all types of ways. Anthony Volpe was supposed to be a superstar, not a good player. I think he's a good
top five prospect in the league, like regardless of farm system.
Right. So people criticize him because he was supposed to be a star, not a good player, a star. You don't protect good players from trades. You protect star players from trades. So
yeah,
the point is with Jason Dominguez is not at this point, the way he's playing, he's no longer I can't possibly trade him. He's not in that ballpark in my eyes. That's what I'll say about Jason Dominguez. So here's my conclusion, Jake, and I'm curious to know what you think about it. I want to know if the Yankees have somebody, and it could be a Freddie Peralta, it could be someone that's out there dangling in Major League Baseball at the top of a rotation, right? You're talking about a top flight arm, and they call you and say, well, I need Jason Dominguez. Am I as reluctant to move him as I was, say, 12 months ago? I'm not. I am much more open-minded to the concept, depending on the player that's coming with him.
I pitched this to you the other day, I think it was 2 days ago, and I said, Spencer Jones finally has, because the average was like 256 last year in double A. but his OPS was like 750, around that.
Okay.
Spencer Jones finally has an OPS over 900. He's starting to hit home runs, like bombs. And he has Gold Glove outfield potential, could also play first base. He's a good base runner. And when you start to factor in everything at 6'7", 240 pounds, you could see why the Yankees could secretly be looking at this guy as the future over Dominguez, and look at Dominguez as if we go out and get Kyle Tucker, we can trade Dominguez for another guy. Now, here's my thing, okay? The Yankees have never really committed to Dominguez. He has not been in the lineup every day, okay? He's played a decent amount, but he's never been committed to. It's not like Anthony Volpe. When Volpe came up, he's playing every day.
This is valid, yeah.
So I kind of look at it like this, and I said this to you 2 days ago, and I think you liked what I was saying. You understood what I was saying. Spencer Jones is essentially a guy right now who is considered heading towards bust potential around the league. People aren't following Spencer Jones anymore. The hype is gone, right? No one is talking about Spencer Jones. No one is going to go out of their way to trade for him. He's 24, right? He has a 905 OPS, but no one cares. He's not the top guy anymore. You know who they're talking about among the league? They're talking about George Lombard Jr. Exactly. Yeah. They're talking about LaGrange, Carlos LaGrange, the pitcher. They're not talking about Spencer Jones. They're talking about Rock Riggio, who's on Spencer Jones' team. He just got called up, and he hits a home run every day. They're talking about those guys. This is an opportunity for the Yankees, believe it or not. Because if they didn't want to trade him before, well, now his value is so low, they won't trade him. And if they don't trade him and now he's going to stick around, well, now, say you do trade Jason Dominguez, this guy becomes his replacement for next year. And as you brought up, it's like, well, what if they want to go out and they want to get Kyle Tucker? Well, that's great. Now you can move Cody Bellinger to first base. Maybe you could trade Ben Rice away and get somebody. And now you start to see like the wheels turning. Now, here's the deal. I am very pro build, you know, build your farm, develop. We've seen the good, we've seen the bad, but we've seen the good. We've seen a, you know, Aaron Judge, we've seen Anthony Volpe's a solid player. I'm not saying he's a superstar.
Luis Hill. Yeah.
Luis Hill. I love homegrown talent. Clark Schmidt's looking really good. Will Warren showing up. But at the same time, prospects are the only form of real currency. Like, no one is trading away draft picks. Nobody. And if you do trade away draft picks, you're going to get laughed at. No one cares. This is not the NFL, the NBA. Well, the NBA doesn't give a rip about draft picks. They send five for one player. We were just talking about that yesterday.
For not even a good player. I mean,
yeah. I mean, a good player. I don't know if he's a great player, Desmond Bain. But yeah, my point being is over the course of time that we've been doing this show, and we're on episode 247, okay, I've learned a lot. But one thing I've learned is that while I'm very much a prospect hugger in a sense, like, this is your currency. Like, these are essentially the draft picks in the NFL. If you're trying to make a mid-season trade to push to win a championship, this is your currency. And so right now the Yankees have to be thinking, they have to be smart about this, because you can't just go all in on this season and just say, you know, farm be damned. If you had plans, you shouldn't just blow them up. Like, if you do have long-term plans for George Lombard Jr. and you have already identified Gary, he is going to be a big, big asset for your roster for the next 10 years or whatever, right? You've already identified him as a franchise player. You don't trade him. But if you haven't, and it's kind of this, you see where I'm going? I'm connecting this back to Jason Dominguez. If you haven't figured out yet if this guy's going to be a franchise player, then we just saw Rafael Devers get traded. If a team calls you and asks for Jason Dominguez and they're like, yeah, we'll give you Chris Sale and Austin Riley for him, well, you at least got to consider that, because here's the deal. Nobody is untradeable. I hate that term. And it's funny, I talk about this all the time with my dad, because it's like, think about this. Is Paul Skenes really untradeable if the Dodgers are like, we'll give you Mookie Betts, Ohtani, Freeman. Like, the idea that anybody is untradeable is ridiculous.
Technically speaking, no one is an untradeable given with the context of the team they're playing for. And mm-hmm. that's what I'll say about it. Paul Skeens technically should be completely untradeable if he was already playing with a major market who can already pay for him long term.
Yeah.
There's no actual reason to get rid of the player. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, is going to think about trading this player because they know in 4 years when he's in arbitration, he's going to be getting $35 million a year. We don't want to pay that. We're also going to be buns. We're not going to be winning games. We know this. We're going to lie to our fans and tell them we're going to be good in 4 years. We will not be. So having said this, baseball in this entire baseball landscape, they know we can't keep this asset. Thus, he's eventually tradable. But for me, if anyone's really looking at Jason Dominguez, I can see where Yankees fans would say, well, I would never trade Aaron Judge under any circumstances. I think that's completely valid. I would probably agree with you. There is no other player that plays for the Yankees or has played for the Yankees in the last 10 years where I'd go, oh, I would never consider trading him, no matter what the haul is. I just don't consider it. I think if the Yankees have a package that they say, this player we have to have, whichever player that is in your mind, the listener, right? Whatever player in Brian Cashman's mind where he says, I have to have this player. Is it Freddie Peralta? Is it someone much better than that? Okay, what do you need to get this player in pinstripes? Oh, it's Jason Dominguez? Well, let me think about it. If you're just saying, well, I want to see what Jason Dominguez turns into, so I'm not going to give you anything of substance, but I still want your great player, your all-time great player you're going to send me. It's not how trades work. You don't get generationally great players via trade, and then they take your fourth and fifth prospect. It just doesn't happen.
It'd be nice if it worked that way.
Wouldn't it be great?
You'd be obviously, like, you know, I want that TV. Can I give you Canadian dollars?
Well, we did it with Miami. I know. We did it with Miami, right? They didn't want the player, but the reason that happened is the context. We're taking the entire contract.
Yeah.
The context is the Marlins didn't want to pay $300 million. That's why we got him, for what we got him for. If he was paid $12 million a year for the next 4 years, Miami would say, yeah, go ahead and send us Gary Sanchez, right? The list would go on. It would be all of the players that we had hopes for that were
young.
That was
such a bad, you know, it's not a bad signing because I think Stanton was worth it at the time. That's not mm-hmm. why that was bad. It was bad because they immediately had buyer's remorse, and that is pathetic. That's why I do not, under any circumstance, respect the Marlins. The only time that they might have been respectable was when Jeter was running them. And then you're like, oh,
no, they
Jeter's
were pretending.
Trying to fix them? No.
No, Derek Jeter signed. He goes over there. They said, oh, yeah, you're going to let me spend? They're like, yeah, yeah. As long as nope. you put your name on the product. Like, Derek Jeter and the Marlins, they got super excited about it. He actually showed up thinking that they were going to let him run the team like they were the Yankees. And that was foolish on his part.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. He shows up there. Of course they're lying to you. And then he gets there. And then remember what he said when he resigned. He said, we're going in different directions. Meaning they're not letting me spend the way that I know a baseball team should be spending. So he quit. That's what happened with Derek Jeter. So, yes. Yeah, that's the gist of it. I want to get to some of these supers.
Oh, and real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Prospects you can't hide prospects. I hope people are learning this because Augustin Ramirez mm-hmm. would have been easy to hide if you could hide prospects. He wasn't one of the top, you know, five guys, right? The Marlins did their homework. Do you know why? Because every team in the league has a scout that their job, like, honestly, they have multiple scouts. They have a ton of scouts, but they have at least one scout for each team. Like, their job is to go and, yeah, you're going to be watching AA baseball today because we like that guy.
And the Pirates have scouts? Doesn't seem like it. Well, I don't know what they're doing. They're like, well, we drafted and developed Paul Skeens. I'm like, oh, did you? The guy with 102?
They have the other guy, what, Bubba Chandler?
Yeah. It's just guys throwing 103 with splinkers. They're good at developing those guys.
Yeah. They either get guys that have generational arms or they just can't find anybody else. I don't know.
No, they don't know what they're doing. They mainly don't know how to pull out their wallets and spend. So Ed W But I completely agree with you with the prospects. Prospects don't mean anything if you don't know what to do with them. So
while they're
valuable, go ahead and do something with it. Maybe spend, make a trade, whatever it is. Do something. Ed W. with the five. Ed, we really appreciate it. It says, my middle daughter coming the next two nights. Poor kid sat through 4-0 loss to Cleveland. Sunday loss to San Francisco.
Ooh.
Game three of the World Series. Good Lord. 12-year-old fan needs a win. I'm the bad luck, too. I think the Yankees got no hit. Two of the games one of the games against Houston. I think it was like, I can't remember who was pitching.
We'll have to go to a game this year that when we go, we have the expectation they're clearly going to lose and then do the reverse, you know, jinxing.
I'm
going to
show up in disguise at one point. So the
universe can't see me.
Right. Ed W's daughter is bad luck. So am I at the park. And Jake, obviously we went to the game and Stroman was on the mound by emergency.
And Nestor Cortez had a career altering injury. I mean, he hasn't been the same since.
Yeah. It's disappointing. So yeah. Ed, don't tell her not to feel too bad. We're in the same boat. Stockton with the super. I believe this is a Dodgers fan, by the way. Glad you're still here. Thank you for the two. Says Judge must think he's in the World Series. Same production. Hilarious.
Appreciate it.
Stockton again with the two. Says, meanwhile, Otani's throwing 100. Good for him. I want to see him healthy. Obviously driving in runs. I'm not exactly sure what the score is of that game. Obviously a big game between the Dodgers and Padres.
They're losing.
Who, the Dodgers are?
The Padres are, I think. Because Cease gave up 6 runs.
Cease has been horrible this year.
Not against the Yankees, of course. But Otani threw one inning. He gave up 2 hits and a run.
Okay, so he did nothing. But anyway.
But we'll talk about that for centuries, I'm sure.
And then Stockton says, meanwhile, Otani, I already read that one. And then this one, Stockton says, Gary, is your pops going to make the Hall of Fame a chance? Well, he's already been his 10 years on the ballot, so he's going to have to go into the committee. And if the committee doesn't let him in, then he's just going to be very good baseball player, Gary Sheffield, and not Hall of Famer, Gary Sheffield. So
that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm a D1 hater with that process. I'm sorry. I don't like it.
Yeah. Hey, we have a new member, by the way.
DM Walker.
Welcome in.
Appreciate you. I need to get one of those audience cheer tracks going on.
Yeah. Oh God. You talking about the soundboards? Yeah, we do need soundboards. Matter of fact, guys, I'm going to buy a soundboard here pretty soon.
Wait, hold on a sec.
No, please don't click one of them.
We definitely have something. Is it cheer?
No. Brace yourself, guys.
I don't know. That's all it was.
It sounds like Yankee Stadium. They're just... In a 0-0 game, they're just blaring in our ears like anything entertaining is going on. And Mark with the 10, Mark, we really appreciate it. Thank you for that. Says, I just want to end off by saying it's 2025 and we still have a left field issue. It's been a decade. Just go through the list of left fielders. Nuts. So
sounds
if
like
you look
the
at
Cleveland
our left
Browns
fielders,
quarterbacks.
It is. We had Brett Gardner and he was solid. But we also said that there was just no fit for Bryce Harper. He said he'd play left, he'd play right, and we were like, nah, we're good. We don't need another outfielder. So we didn't go get him, right? Then we went, I can't remember who else was there since. Then it was Clint Frazier, who I wanted to give an opportunity to. He was terrible, horrible. I think we got him in via trade from Cleveland. And then now our top prospect, a guy who was supposed to be this alien of a baseball player, he was started off as a center fielder. He was compared to Mickey Mantle. We have high hopes for the bat. He's dealt with some injuries. But having said that, he's been relegated to the most difficult defensive assignment that you can have in pinstripes that involves the outfield grass, and it is left field. And that is Jason Dominguez. He has not lived up to what it is that we wanted him to be. Hitting, it shouldn't be possible for your top prospect in the second year for him to be hitting .235 with little pop and bad defense. So, yeah, Mark, I understand your frustration. I assume Dominguez is going to get better. I believe that. But will he get good enough where we say this is answer in left field? I don't know.
Get good. That's all I can say. Get good. All right. That is going to do
it. Oh, Aaron Hicks. I missed that. Yeah, yeah, we really appreciate that. I'll throw that up on there. The promised one on PS5. Yeah, Aaron Hicks. I love that play. God, I wish they wouldn't copyright us so we can show that Aaron Hicks play every day.
Oh, my God.
Where he just puts his head down. I'm going to watch that as soon as I get off here.
I'm not even... That happened like 3 years ago. I'm not going to sit here and have my heart rate going through the moon just because I'm mad that Aaron Hicks did that 3 years ago. But that was the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen. Why are you doing that? Oh, I'm sad. Like, what? This isn't T-ball.
I used to do that. I used to stand in the infield. Holy Ronnie.
I love that.
Ronnie with the 10 Yankees Unloaded gifted memberships. Ronnie, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much for it. So it goes to random Yankee
fan.
Yes. And by the way, guys, if you're new here and you've never been to our show, please make sure you guys subscribe and like the video. Helps us out with the algorithm. I know I waited an hour and 20 minutes into the pod to tell you guys that. Probably a little conservative there, but I don't know. Better late than never.
Okay. So, Ronnie, we appreciate you. I wanted to hit on this comment because it's making waves. We'll get to Profit X in a sec here. But Tommy Wilson, thoughts on the dead balls the Yankees had to deal with tonight? And hear me out. I get what he's saying because Andrew McCutchen, did you see that?
I did see his post. Yes, I saw it. Do you have the post or just paraphrase it? Honestly, that would work.
Yeah. Well, I also want to say Katie Sharp tweeted out that the Yankees have a .077 batting average in extra innings this season. Anyway, continue.
.077?
Yep.
We're literally James Bond agents. It's embarrassing.
A 194 on base percentage and a .077 slugging.
All right, so we're basically just donuts.
Yeah, basically, to your point, 007. I actually think there's some truth to this. I do. Because, I mean, we've seen it before. We've talked about it before. We know the MLB does this shit, right? What was it? 2019? Was that the juice ball era? The one when Glaber hit 30-something home runs?
Yeah, that was, I believe, it was 2019 or... I think it was 2019 or 2017. I feel like it would have been 2019, but I'm going to say this. My question is, when I saw that ball from Cody Bellinger, he seemed like he knew it wasn't a homer off the bat. Like, the broadcast actually did bring that up. So that's part of what made me feel like maybe there's not any truth to this, these baseballs being made of lead. But I'm going to say this. When I saw it off the bat, and you text this to me, Jake, I thought it was plenty to hit a homer on that ball.
I think they're dead balls, man. I do.
I won't go as far as saying but they're dead balls. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I'm not going to understand. I'm not making the excuse the Yankees lost because of dead balls. But I do think we've seen that. And I think in some games it's more prevalent than others. And as much as this Ben guy who he posted it, you can't convince me MLB isn't using dead balls because, of course, Juan Soto, the guy who he talked about nonstop last year, remember him?
Yeah, Ben's an idiot.
Yeah. You couldn't even enjoy a season of him in the Yankee pinstripes without him constantly being your Mets. Like, he's going to be a Met. Well, hope you enjoy him. But he posted this video. He said, you can't convince me MLB isn't using dead balls. So Andrew McCutchen quote tweeted him and said, I was told by a rep for MLB that the balls are indeed different this year. They stated, quote, higher seams, end quote, which produces more drag on baseballs, causing baseballs to not travel as far as they should. When asked why, I was told, quote, every baseball is hand sewn, so no ball is the same, end quote. When I asked if there is something that can be done about correcting the current performance of this year's baseball, I was told there was, quote, nothing, end quote, that can be done about it this season. But they are, quote, working hard on getting to the bottom of why seams are higher, end quote. So, yeah, you're not wrong, Ben.
They're working hard.
That is a player. That is a player that is currently playing in the MLB. This is not a retired player. Obviously, former Yankee, but he's back with the Pirates. There's something beautiful about that, regardless if the Pirates are bad or not. But he's saying this, and he hadn't tweeted it since April 30th. So he clearly had an axe to grind about this. And you know what? How many times, I can't even tell you how many times I've texted you, I've texted Tyler. I've always made this kind of joke that, oh, the industrial fans are out tonight. Because there was this one game last year, Gary, where they played in Arizona, where mm-hmm. I felt like they should have had 8 home runs and not one of them went out. And you look at the numbers and it doesn't make sense because they're like 112 off the bat. And then the expected, remember I sent this to you? Expected batting average.
Yep.
Over 800, 850, over 900. So do we have an issue with whatever the hell expected batting average is, or do we have an issue with the baseball? I think there's something going on here.
But why? I don't think, if you think about it, like there's some, like when people say that there's a dead baseball, I honestly can't. But why? Like, because if you think about it, the average fan, let's just say if the Yankees could have juice baseballs every single day, right? Mm-hmm. Where it just gets out of hand. If Aaron Judge hit 81 home runs this year, do you think the average baseball fan would think that the equipment was off? I'm not saying what the diehard fan, like the people who listen to hour and 30 minute long podcasts on a damn Monday night. No, what would the average person, and the average fan, let's keep this in mind, likes baseball. They scroll on Instagram and they say, oh, wow, look at this guy has to say. And then it's something that's brought to them by like a big network, right? Barstool Sports will post it. Do you really think the average person who looks at Barstool and they're like, oh, wow, Aaron Judge is set to hit his 80th home run today, they probably wouldn't think anything of the equipment. So as far as I'm concerned, if the Major League Baseball was like doing something intentionally to change the baseballs, I feel like they would just give the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, all the teams that they want to see in the postseason, they would let their players hit with those balls.
I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying, that clearly there's no consistency with the ball.
I'm not even saying that they're changing it, like on purpose. Right. I'm just saying there's something that's inconsistent.
Baseball. Yes.
Yeah, if they are doing it on purpose, it's for balancing issues, whatever, because you're more likely to stay tuned if the game's close, even if it's a bad team. But if they're not, like if it's not done, then it's still an issue.
It's not intentional because it does nothing for Major League Baseball for the Angels to beat us. I'm just here to tell you guys right now, nobody's going to care about the Angels in late September. They're going to be in 900 games out of the division race. They just will be. So
yeah,
what's best for Major League Baseball is for the Yankees to win 105 games, Aaron Judge to hit a boatload of homers, no matter what, no matter who we're playing, Ohtani and company to rake the whole season, the Mets to win, get over the hump, win the NL East, and then all of a sudden you go into the postseason and all the Titans clash. You can just throw the Dookie baseballs back in the mix when they play each other. That's what you would do. And obviously, I do see it in the chat. I want to drop it in there. I know it was Charles Barkley who said it. I could not miss it. He said something about they changed the baseballs. Where the hell is it? Oh, there we go. There you have it. Charles Barkley says they also de-juiced the baseballs.
Charles Barkley.
In the playoffs.
How about that?
Yeah. Loved you in, I guess I loved you in 1993 with the Phoenix Suns. You were great. So I imagine that's not the real Charles Barkley, but we'll take it here.
Yeah.
Alexander with the super with the 20 says Judge has been missing fat fastballs over the plate for weeks now. He's out of sorts for him, of course, some context there. 100%, but definitely doesn't help that he has no lineup protection. We definitely don't agree there. We think he has plenty of protection. This is just a slow week. The Yankees mm-hmm. offense has been atrocious for the past week, including that final win with the Royals, to the extent it's even possible, hoping number 27 can offer some anything. And well, we saw it tonight. Giancarlo Stanton is healthy. He's ready to go. He's not going to be Ricky Henderson. He's not going to be burning the base pass. Go out there and produce. Give us another option to throw at DH where we can say our third-ranked offense can be sustainable. We can say it won't fall off a cliff at any point this season. And I think 27, I'll feel comfortable calling him 27 here now, Jake, is that he's going to help us maintain a higher baseline offensively. Now it's up to Aaron Boone if he's going to play the right guys. Is he going to stick by Jason Dominguez, Or is he going to put him on a timeshare and put his development on the back burner? We're going to find out really fast.
We are. And I like where he is in the lineup. I think fifth is good if you're going to do the lefty-righty thing. But when Paul Goldschmidt's in the lineup, how do you have that top five?
Well, probably wouldn't have Grisham leading off.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably go with... probably go with Paul Goldschmidt, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton. I think that's... and then you have... dude, you have Jazz as your sixth hitter. I mean, he's hitting, what, 370? No, 470, I think it is, in the month of June, so...
yeah, he's definitely... it's hard to talk about how good he's been because the situational hitting today, it went to die, and the most important about it, the game. It's easy to ignore what he did. But if Jazz is your six hitter, we know what his ceiling can be. So it goes to show you how good the others can technically be. They just haven't done it, you know, obviously of late outside of Jazz. So Alexander, again, thank you for the 20 and supporting the channel. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. So Jake, let's go ahead and get to our ProfitX picks. If you guys sign up with ProfitX, please make sure you guys use the code YanksU. Does us a ton of good. Jake, what do we think?
Yeah, there's really not a lot, is there, Gary?
There never is.
So I'm going to just take whatever when it becomes available, do it. Giancarlo Stanton, total bases. I'm going to be doing this quite a bit because I think he is going to be a huge, you know, addition to this offense. I just think the way he's hitting, as long as he stays healthy, I think you're going to be surprised at the output he has. He looks better, in my opinion. So give me Stanton total bases, give me Will Warren strikeouts over 6.5, and give me the Yankees winning this game, because now that should be, it's not profitable, not at all. -250.
Good Lord.
Okay. Give me the Yankees winning by 2 runs. That hasn't happened in a minute.
Does Dominguez play tomorrow, by the way?
Against a righty? He should, but...
yeah, because, I mean, Aaron Boone has Grisham leading off. He obviously loves Trent Grisham.
You play Trent Grisham when he's hitting, but Trent Grisham went 1-for-5 today, and he had one of the worst strikeout swings I think I've ever seen in my life.
That is true, but Cody Bellinger also did go 0-for-5, and... but his defense. So
yeah, but the
dead
ball
there.
Killed his home run.
Yeah, the nylon that he hit out there.
Had to bring it back.
It was literally a yarn ball that he hit. It was exploded.
You and I were
didn't go anywhere.
How the hell did that not go over the wall?
No, like I said, Cody knew it wasn't gone, so clearly he didn't get that baseball. But I've seen less leave Yankee Stadium, so it was wild.
It's also, to be fair, I think Ed, you know, our guy Ed in the comment section also said it was like 5 to 10 miles an hour in. I love how that seems to always happen when the Yankees need a big home run or whatever. Yeah, 5 to 10 miles per hour wind coming in. So
yeah, hey, by the way, I saw Jake Cousins is getting Tommy John.
I hate that for him, man. It really looked like he had found something with the Yankees. ERA below 2, or excuse me, below 3, 350, or 250, actually. So you hope he recovers as soon as possible, but... I think it's going to be very similar. I don't know if he's a free agent after the season, Gary. I haven't checked, but I think it's going to be very similar to the Loaisiga thing. I do think he'll stick around the organization, and when he gets better, we could see him next year, like later on. So
okay. Well, I mean, we wish him the best. And by the way, I figured out it is via screenshot. It is Daniel Monahan who owes us $500. So, hey, Daniel, pay up. Lost a bet. That's a bet.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous!
Yeah, Jake. Anything else? Did we want to add anything into the comments? I'm sure.
Yeah, put 27 in the comments. Not only is it Stanton's number, it's a great song by Fall Out Boy. So yeah, put that in the comments. 27.
Put welcome back, so people actually know what the hell you're talking about. So don't put it in the live. You guys have been great. We've had a ton of chats. Obviously, like the video. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the bell so it notifies you. We're also on Spotify, all podcast platforms. Make sure to drop welcome back 27 so people actually know that you're talking about Stan.
And like this video.
Yeah, hell yeah.